Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the All In Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Eli Cooper, joined once again by my guy, Mike Badzik. How's it going, bro?
It's going good. Interesting day of football yesterday. Very interesting with everything going on. Still waiting on my Steelers to go 11-0.
Yes, so to say the least, and we're going to get to the Steelers-Ravens. We're going to talk about the 49ers upsetting the Rams, what that means for the NFC West, the Chiefs beating the Bucks, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Bucks offense, and then a big upset for the Patriots over the Cardinals this week as well. But first, make sure you head over to mybookie.ag after you watch this video and use the promo code ALLINPOD. To get 100% of your deposit match, minimum of $45 up to $1,000. You can live bet on my garbage Eagles who are playing the Seahawks right now and, probably make a lot of money. Well, maybe not. They're not. The odds aren't going to be in their favor, but you can make some money.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about this news that came out today. Raven Steelers push back again.
Yep.
They were originally supposed to be the primetime game on Thanksgiving night, and then they were moved to Sunday, and then Tuesday, which would be tomorrow, and then now pushed to Wednesday at 3:40 p.m. So the middle of the day on a Wednesday, probably going to take a big ratings hit there.
Yeah.
What were your what's your thoughts on the NFL's handling of this game?
Well, it certainly looks butchered from the outside anyway. Looking in, it's like, what is going on with the NFL? Why can't they get this gameplay? When you take a look at it, I mean, you know, the Ravens keep having positive tests. Every day they have more people test positive, which tells you that an outbreak is occurring.
Yeah.
You know, I guess from a health and health perspective, and I'm not Dr. Fauci, but I think probably you would look at that and say, these guys, you know, we don't know who else is going to test positive. Maybe we should postpone this game. I don't know if postponing it day by day makes sense, or if at some point you just say, okay, this isn't happening, let's move it to the end of the year, whatever. Like, who cares if we extend our season by 1 week and the Super Bowl is played the second week in February instead of the first week? I get it that the NFL wants to, be this strong hand and say, look, we made it through. We played all the games on time. We didn't miss any weeks. But like at some point, look around you, look at the country around you. There, this is surging everywhere. And again, I'm not Dr. Fauci, but I don't think anyone would look at them sideways if they postponed this game and maybe another game this weekend and said, we're going to do this at the end of the year instead of right now. But here they go. They say they want to play. They say that it's let's make it happen. So we're going to get this on Wednesday in the middle of the day, middle of the work day, I will say. I guess it makes sense. Now, if I'm the Ravens, I'm probably like, just postpone it because we have all these guys who have COVID. It's not really our fault. As far as we know, they followed the protocols a little bit different than the Denver situation. But if I'm the Steelers, I probably think, this is bullshit, right? Like, this is happening to us again. Like, we remember what happened earlier in the year with the Titans situation, and now it's happening to the Steelers again, where their opponent, and the Steelers have had one or two guys on the COVID list this week, but not like the Ravens are having. They're kind of in this position now where they're kind of screwed again. So I feel for them. As a Steelers fan, I certainly feel for them. I would like to see the NFL just say, hey, let's just move it to the end of the year. It doesn't look like they're going to do that, though.
Yeah, and, I think obviously if we have more COVID cases, I think we will see the Week 18 thing actually happen because at this point they can't push it back any further with obviously next week's Thursday night game already, set and scheduled. So, it's difficult, man, and it makes you, it makes you wonder – what's going on in these buildings? What are these players doing?
Yeah.
Why are these outbreaks happening? Especially when you're in the middle of the season, most people really, or players and staff, really should be self-isolating anyway when they're not in the building. you know, and obviously, you know, as we know right now, there haven't been any protocol breaches in Baltimore, but there was one in Denver. But, you know, when it comes to the Ravens versus Steelers, the inconsistency of the NFL is what bothers me about the postponing of this game. So if we really go back, the first time there was a game postponed, it was the Steelers Titans, right? With the and it basically just gave both teams a bye. You know, first time that this happened, the Steelers versus Titans game, they postponed it, scheduled it for a later week because the bye weeks worked out. So, you know, not really any harm, any foul there. But then, you know, the next time we really had like a serious outbreak was the Niners and Packers Thursday night game. And they didn't push that game back. Actually, there was a Thursday game before that where they had pushed it back to Sunday, and there just wasn't a Thursday game, or they pushed it back to Tuesday. And then Niners-Packers happened, and the Niners were completely decimated by COVID to the point where they their only receiver was like a guy from the practice squad.
Right.
And they made them play that game. And then fast forward to now, Thanksgiving, Ravens decimated by COVID, and now they've rescheduled it multiple times. So I'm like, what's the criteria for them rescheduling these games? Because some games are getting rescheduled. Some teams are kind of like, you know, you got to play through it. Then the Broncos thing happens and they're playing without any quarterbacks. And you're talking about like, you know, protecting the integrity of the game. They had no chance at winning that game after that with no quarterbacks. Like, I don't care what kind of strategy you try to come up with. With no practice time, you have no chance at winning that game. And maybe they didn't really have one because they were playing the Saints anyway. But, you know, the crazier things have happened in the NFL when a team at least has one quarterback, you know, that has taken a snap, you know, in his life. And now, you know, it's now it's the Broncos were running like 70% Wildcat plays. Yeah. And the kid that they threw in there at quarterback was just a deer in headlights, as he should have been. Yeah. So it's just like, why were they forced? And maybe the NFL was trying to make an example out of them because apparently the QB room broke protocol. I don't know. But that seems like a pretty harsh thing to do when it comes to handling COVID.
Well, it was a harsh thing to do. And, you know, watching that game the whole time, it's like, I feel terrible for this kid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's out there getting his ass kicked. And he doesn't even know anybody on the team, right? It's not like he can go to his boy. And his boy would be like, oh, man, I get it. Like, this sucks. Everyone on the team was like, you freaking suck, dude. Like, and he knew it. He couldn't talk to anybody. I felt terrible. I felt so bad for that kid. He was just getting his ass kicked. But, yeah, but, like, that's the thing. And it's like, you know, and to tie this back to the NFL, we actually don't really have any evidence that their protocols work.
Yeah.
So looking at, like, look at, like, the Broncos situation. So basically what happened with the Broncos situation is – the quarterbacks went in on an off day for a meeting. There was about five people in the room, and they got caught. They weren't wearing their masks with five people in the room, which I don't actually believe is a CDC guideline to have masks on when there's only five people in the room. But even if it was, you know, the NFL basically says, we're going to hang you out to dry because of this. You guys are totally screwed now because of this. Go play without a quarterback on Sunday.
Right.
Baltimore follows all of the NFL's protocols. They have this huge outbreak that the NFL clearly cannot prevent, has no control over because this is a pandemic, a highly spreadable disease. It's a pandemic. They have all of these cases. Denver now gets all their tests back. None of those guys tested positive. None of those guys actually got coronavirus from this thing. So it just makes the NFL look like they're just throwing darts, hoping that they, you know, it resembles to the public that they know what they're doing when they clearly are just guessing.
No. Yeah. And it's obvious now because of the inconsistency that we're seeing in whose games get rescheduled and who gets thrown to the wolves. There's just too much inconsistency in this case. Like, honestly, at this point, they would have been better adding two more weeks to the season and rescheduling all these games to a week 18 or week 19, because now it's a mess. And to me, it's like that it can't possibly be good for your ratings, your fans, for the league in any capacity to throw the Broncos out there like that with no quarterback. And granted, like, neither of those teams are like super big markets, you know, or anything like that. It wasn't a incredibly important game, and I get that. And granted, you don't have fans in stadiums anyway, but if I'm a fan of the Broncos and Saints, I feel robbed. That was such a bad game to watch.
Terrible.
To the point where they barely got any airtime even on the Red Zone channel. And of that game, you know, Taysom Hill on one end completed 9 passes the entire game, and the other quarterback on the other end, if you want to call him a quarterback, you know, obviously was even worse. So it's just like, I just don't know who playing that game benefited. And really, if you think about it, like mathematically, the Broncos are not totally out of playoff contention. Realistically, do they have a chance? No. But, you know, and really the Saints with Taysom Hill at quarterback, I don't care what anyone says, you can beat the Saints with Taysom Hill at quarterback, especially when he only completes 9 passes. Like, he wasn't impressive.
At home in Denver, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, then you got to talk about integrity of the game. But to me, the NFL has just been awful in the handling of this, really from probably week 4 on, if you ask me.
Well, and I don't think anybody really, you know, if the NFL wants to say that we're doing all we can to stop the spread, like, I think people can get on board with that. Like, it's just that there's no consistency.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the Saints, you know, we see teams every week, you know, on the field, no masks, after the game, shaking hands, no masks. And then the Saints get, they lose a draft pick and get fined $500,000 because they celebrated in the locker room without their masks on. But, like, these dudes get tested every day and they're around each other. Like, I don't quite understand that. I think it's more NFL is just trying to say that they're doing stuff.
Right. And
you know, what you said about adding 2 weeks on the end of the season, like, they should still do that. They should do that right now. Like, the NFL came out before these games were played on Sunday and said that they were going to close all practice facilities on Monday and Tuesday because of these outbreaks, all of them across the league.
Right.
But then they played the games on Sunday, right? Like, do we see how stupid that is that we're saying you can you can play on Sunday, but because we're afraid that these teams are having outbreaks, you can't go practice on Monday and Tuesday after the fact.
So, yeah. So the NFL's handling COVID not great so far. You know, obviously Rams and Steelers will still get to go again for the second time this year, and pretty much a must win for the Ravens on Wednesday, 3:40 p.m. So stay tuned for that. Let's talk about some of the games that were played on Sunday. The 49ers come up with an upset on the Rams. And this is coming after, you know, just on our last NFL episode, we talked about how, you know, the Rams played in regards to how well they played against the Bucs and how they might be NFC contenders. And then they kind of have a flop here against the 49ers, who are not a bad team. Like, don't get me wrong, the Niners are better than their record shows. You know, they came into this 4-6. You know, but obviously they've been decimated by injuries and COVID as well. They got Debo Samuel back. They got Raheem Mostert back, Jeff Wilson Jr. So, like, multiple guys returned. And then Sherman was back on defense. They got a ton of guys back and healthy. So does this tell you more about the Rams or the 49ers?
I think it tells me more about the Rams, specifically because I think I know what I have with the 49ers when they're healthy. But it might not be enough at this point to get to the playoffs. Anyway, you know, the Rams were a team that we kind of have been flip-flopping on almost, like, because sometimes they look great. And then sometimes Jared Goff plays like a guy whose first name is Jared. Nothing against Jareds, but so, like, you know, like, this was the type of a game where he just, you know, proves why we can't always trust him, you know, with turning the football over. And it seems like when defenses show him looks that he's not comfortable with, he really struggles. You know, his adjustments in game, you know, the thing that they always said about him was that McVay was always the one making all the adjustments. And after they gave him that money, you know, they kind of said, okay, now you can do some of this yourself. Well, maybe that's not the best strategy. And he needs someone in his ear telling him exactly what's going on. I don't know if that's not still happening. It might be. But it certainly doesn't look like it. When he goes against a defense that's sophisticated like the 49ers is and has playmakers, he seems to be a turnover machine. This kind of, you know, has me a little bit worried about the Rams from a NFC contender standpoint. Now, I don't know if anybody else is running away with it exactly. So maybe they're still in that category. Yeah. But I definitely was disappointed. I was more disappointed with them than I was impressed by the Rams, by the 49ers.
Agreed. And, you know, again, this definitely tells us more about the Rams than it does the Niners. We essentially just saw a Niners team get healthy and be a good competitive football team like we knew that they were. But for the Rams, like you said, it's they're a team that is as good as Jared Goff is. Yep. So whether it's good Jared Goff that shows up or bad Jared Goff that shows up, that's going to determine whether the Rams win games against good teams or not. And essentially that's what it's come down to for them, you know, is how well Jared Goff plays. And also, I wonder if this whole three-headed monster in their backfield has anything to do with it. Because I don't know that, you know, I don't love three-man running back committees. I've always been okay with a two-man committee, but I don't know that I love three because I'm not sure that it really ever gives any of those three running backs a chance to develop a rhythm. Now, Cam Akers played really well, 9 carries, 84 yards, and a touchdown in this one. But, you know, when someone's running the ball that well and he's still second on your team in carries, like, to me, that doesn't really make sense. If a guy's is averaging 9 yards a carry, we should just keep giving him the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where, you know, it kind of baffles me. You know, Daryl Henderson, 10 carries for 19 yards. So, like, why is he getting more carries than Cam Akers? Those are the kind of things where it's like, it doesn't really make sense to me. And I wonder if not having consistency from the running game ends up impacting Jared Goff, because I think he's one of those guys who, you know, relies big on being able to play out of play action and things like that. So, you know, but ultimately the Rams will go as far as Jared Goff takes them. Simple as that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree with the three-headed monster running back thing. We've only really seen that ever work well a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it's tough, you know, and of course we always bring it back to basketball and we say that, you know, you got to let guys get in a rhythm. I think it's the same for running backs. I think I've never really done it, but I think it's the same for running backs. Let them get in a rhythm. I would imagine. And Jared Goff, like, you know, when you put pressure on his shoulders, right, when they go down early, it's tough. Now, they did make a little bit of a comeback here, but really that was the defense had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. And then Cam Akers had a 60-yard run, and then he ended up punching it in himself. It's not like Goff brought them back, per se, even though they were losing and ended up coming back. So I still look at him as one of these guys. And, you know, we do the quarterback tier thing all the time. There's a lot of good quarterbacks who you don't really want to put the game on their shoulders. You know, think Baker Mayfield, think Kirk Cousins. He probably falls in that category. Not saying you can't win big games with him, but if you're not establishing the run game, it makes it a whole lot harder.
Yeah, absolutely. So Goff certainly in that kind of tier of QBs. I think I'd take him over both of those guys that you mentioned, but like not by much.
Yeah.
You know, he's best when he doesn't have to do much. So let's talk about probably the game of the week. You know, granted, the Steelers, since the Ravens and Steelers game has been pushed back a whole 6 days, the next game of the week was the Chiefs versus Bucks.
Yep.
And at first, it looked like it was going to be pretty bad. And maybe the scoreline's a little misleading here, as the, you know, Bucks scored most of their points after they were kind of out of it. But the Chiefs held on to win this one 27-24.
Yeah.
And a Bucks defense that has been pretty good, and even holding the Chiefs to 27 points is actually still an accomplishment. But a Bucks defense that has been pretty, like, elite for the better part of this year got lit up by Tyreek Hill in the first quarter. 200 yards in the first quarter, and I believe all three of his touchdowns were in the first quarter as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really much you can do when Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes are playing that well. You know, because they're so electrifying, but there's some big question marks again about this Bucks offense, right?
Yes, there is some serious question marks about Tom Brady and the Bucks offense. Yeah. Now, I will say, in the second half, they play a lot better, and Brady looks a lot better. He had a couple, you know, the one interception. I think he was just trying to force it, and he threw it up, and he underthrew the guy by a yard. That's okay, I guess. The other one was pretty inexcusable, where he threw it off the lineman's helmet. on the hot route. But I think that's just more of a product of him not really knowing exactly what's going on, where his guys are going to be on mm-hmm. the hot routes and on the hot reads. I think Tony Romo did a good job explaining that on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. So we're still looking for this continuity. Now it's week 12, so you know we were thinking probably it'd be there by now. But when you do spend 20 years in one system, I guess it's understandable that it might take 12 weeks to get the new one. And maybe they start to incorporate some things in from his New England days. But, you know, this was not good enough. And this, you know, when he goes against Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be kind of a similar story here in the playoffs. Now, as far as the Chiefs go, they're really good. It's getting harder and harder for me to keep the Steelers in the number one spot in my personal power rankings when I watch the Chiefs because mm-hmm. it's almost and listen, it was 27-24. You know, they did not score as many points in the second half. You know, it appeared that they maybe took the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. But I think they kind of just control that how they want to. It seems like one of those situations where when they want to turn it on, they will. And I know that, you know, football is a single elimination tournament in the playoffs. And if you do take your foot off the gas, you could be in trouble in the playoffs. But I just feel like when I watch this team, you know, even compared to the 10-0 Steelers, like it's kind of a different league.
Yeah. Yeah. And it definitely is. So like, if you ask me just from eye test alone, who's the better team out of Chiefs and Steelers, I'm probably still going to take the Chiefs. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. And I think they kind of deserve that until they're beaten. Now,
yeah.
That's, you know, given my last like 3 weeks of power rankings have had the Steelers at number one in my articles, which you can find at allinnetwork.net, shameless promo. So, you know, but a lot of that is based on numbers. But if you're asking me, you know, which team is probably most likely to come out of the AFC, I still think it's the Chiefs. And it's because they have Patrick Mahomes. You know, at the end of the day, I think there's a quarterback in the league you have more faith in than him. And their defense is good enough to support them, I would think. We'll see how that matches up in the playoffs. That's going to be an excellent matchup. But I'd still say the Chiefs are the best team in the league. From the Bucs' perspective, you know, like you said, Tom Brady didn't look good again. And, you know, it kind of – one thing I'm starting to notice is, like, when Tampa Bay isn't able to effectively establish the run, for whatever reason, like whether the run game's getting stopped or in this case they fall behind early and they can't really run the ball that much, you know, it seems to have a negative impact on Tom Brady. And that has kind of been the case throughout his career. You know, when his teams have not been able to run the football effectively, at least in the last 4 or 5 years, I should say. When his team haven't been able to run the ball effectively, he has not been good, and yeah. It's often resulted in losses. And that's what concerns me about this Bucs team, is if they can't get Ronald Jones going, you know, to where he's getting 20 carries for over 100 yards and probably a touchdown, those kind of games, I don't know that Tom Brady can be effective enough for them to win major deep down the road playoff games against good teams. And we've seen that these last 2 weeks at least, and really a multitude of times over the season. Now, the Bucs are sitting at 7-5 at this point. Yeah. Would they be 7-5 with Jameis at QB?
It might be better.
You think? From a fantasy perspective, I wholeheartedly agree.
Right.
But, you know, I say bare minimum, the Bucs could be 7-5. With Jameis. Now, they have 4 easy games on the rest of their schedule. They have the Vikings, 2 games against the Falcons, and then the Lions. So they're probably going to win out and finish 11-5. And I don't know. It just makes me wonder if Tom Brady was that much of an upgrade. I think playoff time is where we'll see the difference. But
right. And that's why you sign him. You have to sign him.
Right. And that's why you have to. Yeah, you can't not sign Tom Brady. So I'm not making an argument that Jameis Winston's better than Tom Brady. I'm just saying I don't think Jameis was the problem in Tampa Bay. Maybe that's the argument I'm making.
I don't think he's worse than Tom Brady. I don't think he's worse than Tom Brady. Maybe that way.
Agreed.
But you had to sign Tom Brady. But I think like the Bucks, like I think this is probably what we should maybe have expected coming into the year. This is kind of what I expected. It was like 10-6. Like
me too.
They're not gonna be that good. Like it takes a second to adjust. They're not gonna be terrible. I don't think anybody really did. Because right. You know, I think we knew that the defense was pretty good and that Tom Brady is Tom Brady to an extent anyway. So I don't know. I think it makes sense. I think, you know, people are losing their minds today about the Bucks, and they're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to win one game. If they're the 5 seed, they're almost definitely going to win one game against whoever wins your team's division. So I think this probably makes sense for where they are.
Yeah, agreed. So I'm going to throw this at you since you mentioned the NFC East. Giants and Washington football team both sitting at 4-7 atop the division.
Yeah. How about that?
I think the Eagles have an incredibly tough schedule. So let's go over these schedules quick down the stretch. Okay. So I think we can kind of rule out the Cowboys. Like, they're pretty bad. Like, with Anthony, Dalton.
You're not going to rule them out? No, because I don't think Andy Dalton is worse than Alex Smith or Daniel Jones, who's actually hurt, so he's not even going to be playing. I think they're going to have Colt McCoy in there. Or Jalen Hurts, I don't know.
Alex Smith looked really good on Thanksgiving Day, and Andy Dalton looked really
bad. He did. Yeah, I know, but I still think Andy Dalton's just as good. That game could have been close. CeeDee Lamb, if he doesn't drop that touchdown, then it's 20-17. But he does, and then they kick the field goal, and then the Redskins – they run away with it. But that game was close for a second there. And I think
it was
the easiest of the three, I think.
Oh, the Cowboys?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay, so Washington's final schedule is Steelers, which we'll see how that goes. But Steelers, 49ers, Seahawks, Panthers, Eagles. That is a pretty tough schedule. I think they lose the next three games at least.
I don't know if I see any wins, maybe one, two max.
I would say Panthers and Eagles, right, are the two games that you would probably say that they have a chance in.
Yeah, they have a chance in.
So at best, you're looking at 5 wins with Washington football team. With the Cowboys, they have the Ravens, Bengals, Niners, Eagles, Giants. So yes, they do have the more favorable schedule of those two teams. They're probably losing to the Ravens and the Niners. Yeah. And then really they have to win 2 division games. Cowboys and Eagles at the end of the season, and Bengals, they should take care of business there. But anything could happen with Andy Dalton as your quarterback.
Very true.
So, you know, maybe I think there's a path to 6 wins there, right?
Yes.
And then
6 wins probably wins the division.
That at this point, yes, because the Eagles are probably going to lose tonight, I think.
It's 0-0 right now as we're recording.
We're holding on for dear life right now. We're holding on for dear life. But assuming we lose tonight, Packers next week, that's an assumed loss. Saints the week after, probably a loss. Cardinals are a beatable team.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that's probably a loss. And then Cowboys and Washington to finish out the year. Again, 2 winnable games. So there's probably 2.5 winnable games for the Eagles. So a path to 6 games, I would say, for them. Mm. And then the last one we have is the Giants. And their remaining schedule, I believe, is
the second easiest. I think it's the easiest, right?
Okay. They have Seahawks, Cardinals, probably 2 losses.
Yeah.
Maybe 1.5. Browns, probably a loss. Ravens, definitely a loss. Giants, a loss. Cowboys.
Well,
probably a winnable game.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to come down to those last 2 weeks, and the winner is going to have either 5 or 6 wins, which is insane. Like, I think the NFL – like, if you're going to change it this year and say that 7 teams make the playoffs – like, you might as well just say, screw the NFCs. Like, come on. Like, if they're going to win 6 games, it's one thing if they, you know, 7-8-1, the Eagles last year, that's what they were last year, right? 7-8-1. And they made it. Like, that's okay. That's
right. You almost 8-8. Right.
6 wins? No, I can't do that, man.
Yeah, 6-9-1 or 6-10 which would be like Giants or Cowboys would end up being 6 and a full 10 losses. That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
That for any of these teams, we can't see more than 6 wins. Is pretty embarrassing. So of those 4 teams.
Yeah. You want to know who I'm picking?
Who are you taking?
Daniel Jones is hurt, right? Daniel Jones is hurt.
Daniel Jones did just get hurt, and it seems like he's going to miss significant time.
Okay.
So I'm Colt McCoy as a backup.
Who I love. You know I'm a big Colt McCoy guy. Yeah. But I'm not going to take them because of that. Even though I might like them the best other, you know, if Daniel Jones was playing. If Daniel Jones wasn't hurt, I probably would take them, to be honest. I think I'm going to go with Philadelphia. I think I'm going to stick.
Wow.
And I think their schedule is the toughest. Maybe Washington is. But I still just I don't know. I still think when you line up these 4 quarterbacks, and Wentz has been one of the 3 worst quarterbacks I've seen this year.
Yeah.
I think that when it comes
down to those, below it.
When it comes down to those 2 divisional games at the end of the year, because that's really what this is going to come down to. Week 16 and 17, they have all those divisional games. I think the Eagles win those games because I think Carson Wentz is better than every other quarterback. And I just can't imagine. You know, there's no world where I imagine Washington or the Giants in the playoffs. You like how I used Washington there. And the Cowboys with Andy Dalton, I just can't see it because it's not only that they have Andy Dalton, it's also that they have this terrible, terrible defense. So I'm still going with the Eagles, even if they lose tonight. It looks like they just gave up a touchdown. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they just gave up a touchdown. So, okay, I'm changing my pick. I'll go with Washington.
So I'm going to go with the Giants still.
Okay, okay.
And I have no reason why. I have no reason other than – I have no faith in the Eagles or the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys have the easiest final schedule. I think just not only is their quarterback beat up, their offensive line is beat up. Yeah. And I think that's kind of, you know, Andy Dalton behind a bad offensive line and they can't run the ball. I just don't see a path to the playoffs with that combination, you know, with a backup quarterback and a beat up offensive line. The Eagles offensive line is also beat up, but – And we have the last, like, healthy starter standing at quarterback, but he's been so bad that, you know, he's as bad as the backups that are playing. So I can't really even give us an advantage there. And our offensive line is also beat up as well. I think, like, I don't know. I think the Giants just kind of have the easiest schedule along with the least amount of, like, super bad problems. I don't know. It's hard to tell. We'll see. Yeah, that sounds crazy to say that Colt McCoy is going to start a playoff game this year, possibly. So I don't know. We'll see how the NFC shakes out. I don't know.
Who cares? They're going to get killed, right?
Hopefully. Yeah, it's going to be.
I hope if they make the playoffs, whoever it is, and they win, I will protest the whole playoffs. That's ridiculous. Just
give our spot to the Niners. The Niners
deserve or whoever, the last wild card to make it is, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right, so let's end our show today with the biggest upset of the weekend, which was the Patriots knocking off the Cardinals. And their playoff hopes are kind of alive here. They're 5-6. And again, probably a Cam Newton fumble away from being 6-5 and being even closer to a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the Patriots before we dive into the Cardinals. Will the Patriots make the playoffs?
No. No, they will not. And if we're starting – so we'll start with them. I also – you know, watching this game, I had 2 main takeaways, one about each team kind of. The first about the Patriots and about Cam Newton is this is probably his last year as a starter in the NFL ever. He is pretty bad, and I think the Patriots also know that he's pretty bad because they do not ask him to do anything. They don't ask him to do anything at all. I think I don't know his exact stats from this game, but I don't think he completed more than like 10 passes. And I think that they kind of looked at it that way and knew that he can't do it. Like, he's just not accurate. You know, we talked about Brady in the new scheme and having a hard time learning it. Maybe that's what's going on with Cam. You know, but like when you watch these games, like I watched a bit of this game and like twice, you know, the Cardinals have six guys on the line of scrimmage ready to blitz. And Cam just takes the snap and he kind of takes three steps back. He's looking around. It's like, and they're just blitzing him and they're there. And he's just, you know, standing there with the ball. Like, and that's kind of always been the book on him is, you know, he struggles reading the defense and he struggles picking up the blitzes or just picking up what the defense is doing. Like, that's always been the book on him. And like, I'm sure that coming to the new system has not helped that at all. It's been kind of hard to watch, actually, as a Cam Newton fan. But they won this game, and they're certainly not out of playoff contention, at least not completely. I don't think they're going to make it. I think it's an uphill battle for them because I do think that the other teams that are fighting for that spot are better, right? Cleveland, Indianapolis, and then that last spot will probably be Oakland or Miami. I think all those teams – and the Ravens, I think all of those teams are better than New England, even though New England beat the Ravens in a monsoon. Now, regarding the Cardinals, you know, this was a game, like, there's always games that I gamble on. And then as soon as the game starts, I'm like, well, that was dumb. And I took the Cardinals here, and as soon as the game started, I was like, well, that was dumb, right? We've got Belichick against a young quarterback. A young head coach, Belichick's probably going to draw some stuff up and confuse him and make it hard on him, and that's exactly what happened. And Kyler Murray kind of struggled, but that's what every young quarterback does against Bill Belichick. So it made sense, and you know, probably should have known that that was what was going to happen. So I don't take too much out of this game from a, you know, are the Patriots suddenly this team that we weren't expecting? Are they better than what we thought? I don't think so. I think that this was just a matter of Belichick went against a young QB and made a great game plan. I just can't see them winning games down the stretch here with Cam at quarterback, unfortunately.
Now, are the Cardinals worse than we thought?
Maybe, because I at one point I did have them like seventh in my top 10 after they beat the Seahawks there. You know, they might be – I think Cliff Kingsbury is worse than we thought because I was actually starting to turn the corner on him. And, you know, we kind of – when he got hired, it was kind of like, why are they hiring this guy? He got fired in college. Like, why would they hire this guy? And but coming, you know, first couple weeks here this season, we're thinking, oh, wow, that actually was a great hire. But he does, like, three or four just completely boneheaded things per game. And he did a couple of those this game. So I think he's pretty bad. You know, Kyler's still young, and it's going to be tough. I don't know if that line is where they want it to be for him yet. So, I guess, they are worse than we thought.
Yeah, and that was the takeaway for me is that, okay, well, the Cardinals still they're not quite there yet as far as, like, a real contender. Obviously, they're better this year, right? Like, in the D-Hop edition was big. Kyler Murray's better this year, you know. And maybe his shoulder injury, he did have a little thing with a sprained AC joint that he had at the end of the Seahawks game last week and was limited in practice all week. So I think that matters, right? Because it makes it tougher to make the deep throws and things like that. So, you know, maybe now he played, so I don't know the extent of the injury at all. And you could see he was protecting it when he got tackled, like throughout this game. He was making sure not to fall on the point of that shoulder. So I think that has something to do with it. But at the end of the day, like you said, the scheme that the Patriots, you know, designed defensively to stop him was incredibly effective. Like, he didn't even really get it going on the ground, which is, like, a lot of times when he's not throwing the ball well, he can kind of burn you with his legs, and they weren't having any of that either. He had five carries for 31 yards. So, you know, I think that's kind of the takeaway here for the Cardinals is we overhyped them a little bit when they were sitting at like 6-3, you know, six in that range when they beat the Seahawks. They come to find out the Seahawks secondary is just abysmal. So, you know, as far as the Patriots go, I don't think they will make the playoffs. I'm not going to buy into that yet. So I'm not all in on that yet. But you look at, they're sitting at 5-6, and we look at their final schedule: Chargers, Rams, Dolphins, Bills, Jets. To me, those are all winnable games. Yeah. Right. They're all winnable games because, you know, they beat the Ravens. They've beaten the Cardinals, you know, just in their last, in two of their last three games. You know, so they certainly can beat good teams on any given day, you know, if the cards fall for them. But if you look at Chargers, I think that's a must win for them. 3-8 Chargers team who is talented. I think that's a game you have to win, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can drop the Rams game. That puts you at 16-7. Dolphins, you got to win to put you at 7-7. Bills.
Well, yeah, if they beat the Dolphins, that's, you know, one of the teams they're fighting with there for that last spot.
Exactly. So that's absolutely a must win. Bills game, I think, with you sitting at 7-7, that becomes a must win. So you got to beat the Bills. Again, something that they should have done the first time if Cam doesn't fumble. But that becomes a must win. And then the Jets are a win. They're trying to go 0-16. So they're going to win that game. So like there's a path to at least 9-7 here if they can pull off, you know, some upsets down the stretch. The issue is Cam Newton can't throw the football. Yeah. And whether that's because he definitely struggles like reading defenses, pre-snap reads, things like that, that's obviously an issue for him. And really, if you load up the box, you can slow down his rushing ability and their run game. But also his receivers don't create any kind of separation like whatsoever.
Yeah, true, absolutely.
The second pick he threw, which almost gave the Cardinals a chance to take the lead in this, when it was 17-17, it was a bad throw. He was looking for, I think it was Bird, on kind of a short back shoulder throw near the sticks on a third down. And one, the throw should have been on the outside. Obviously, on a back shoulder throw, it has to be on the outside. He threw it inside, so it was an awful throw. But like, he wasn't even open. And it's just, to me, like when he's been blitzed all game, you know, and obviously he's struggling to pick those up. Now he's making rush decisions and like kind of it's not like he has a person to go to, you know, that he can rely on. Jacoby Myers is solid, but like at the end of the day, it's Jacoby Myers, not, you know, any other kind of elite receiver that he has to get the ball into his hands or really anyone who can consistently create separation. Even Julian Edelman, who's been hurt when he's been healthy, has not been able to get open. So, you know, that combined with you don't have the best throwing quarterback ever in the first place is a recipe for disaster. So you really just have to stop the run against these guys. And that's what concerns me and why I don't think they'll make the playoffs, even though they have a favorable schedule down the stretch with some games that they can win. You know, I just like I could as much as the Chargers game is like a game that you would expect them to win, they absolutely can lose that game. You know what I mean? So
The Chargers offense. Really, besides the Jets, they can lose any of those games because it's hard to imagine where the points come from guaranteed every week.
Right, and their defense is not the defense we saw last year. So if they had the defense they had last year with this offense, I'd probably say they'd be in a better position to make the playoffs because that they were elite. But they had so many guys like sit out before the season because of COVID. It's just like, you know, their defense will have its moments because they're well coached, but they're not elite enough to kind of carry this bad offense, especially because the defense put up points last year. That was another big, you know, difference that they had was they could supplement scoring with defensive touchdowns and things like that. So, and turnovers creating short fields, things like that. So, you know, the playoff hopes are there, but, you know, I hope
Rams because often, probably Cam gets another job.
Yes, agreed.
But tough to see for me anyway.
That Rams Dolphins Bills stretch is going to be a tough one for them.
Yeah.
All right, so that wraps up today's show. So we talked about power rankings a little bit throughout the show. So just to give you guys an update, I will not be doing power rankings this week because by the time I get the data after the Ravens Steelers game finishes, because you know those two teams affect everyone else's opponent win percentage that they played, I won't be able to get like accurate data until that game is played, and then by then we're gonna have a Thursday night game, so that's just gonna be impossible to do. So No power rankings this week. However, you can still see all the remaining articles and things like that on the All In Network website, allinnetwork.net. Make sure you guys tune in there. And if you're watching on our YouTube channel right now, make sure you hit that subscribe button for more All In Network content. You can catch our podcast twice a week, usually on Tuesdays and Fridays. And you can also catch the All In Politics podcast every week on Fridays or Saturdays. Mike, any exciting things from the network that you want to talk about here today?
Yes, allinnetwork.net, that's the place to be. Get the app as well. Get the app. You can see all of the tweets. That's where I go to see our tweets because I don't have Twitter. So it's nice to have it. See what's going on. And make sure you're sticking up with us. Hit the subscribe button on the YouTube page. That way you know exactly when all of our content goes up and when we go live, which we do quite often. And tell your friends about us.
Yes, yes. Spread the word. And those of you listening on the audio, make sure you leave a rating. You know, make sure you're subscribing to us on those platforms as well. And a review. Those kind of things help us pop up in searches. And if you watch on YouTube, download the audio so we get those extra plays. It's all we're asking. It takes 30 seconds, 2 seconds. Download the audio. Doesn't bother you at all. Just help us out. But we appreciate you guys tuning in to episode 56 of the All In Podcast. And we will see you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, guys.